Hello, everybody, and welcome to Around Town. I'm your host, Ron Giordano. We are broadcasting from 101.5 FM, WHRULP, your Huntley Community Radio Station. And today we're going to be talking with Keith Johnson, the Woodstock Farmers Market up in Woodstock by the fairgrounds. Keith, welcome to Around Town.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
So we got a farmers market up in Woodstock in the winter months. So you want to tell us how this all came about or what the whole history is, Keith?
Okay, well, this is our 40th year in business, and so we've been at it 40 years. For a long time, we just had a Wednesday market, then we got a Thursday market. Finally, we developed to a Tuesday and a Saturday market, and probably about 8 or 10 years ago, we decided that our farmers were asking for a way to expand their season. We have some things that are available all season, so we explored the possibility of a winter market. And we started out in the farm beer building in Woodstock, and then probably about 6 years ago, we moved to the fairgrounds. And the fairgrounds, we got a lot more room. You know, that was one of the things we needed, was a little more room. We were expanding. So we're in Building D out there, which is a heated building, and we have room for 30 to 40 vendors. So it's really developed, and our farmers have expanded their season, and they're doing things to extend their season. And so, of course, some products like meats and cheeses and things are available year-round, so they're available too.
I know people are going to wonder what kind of products are available during the winter months, because you're not going to have tomatoes, obviously, because that's a winter product.
Right. But we do have, our farmers are as the opportunity has availed itself to sell during the winter months, they've expanded their product line. Of course, like honey's available, meats are all frozen. We do have people doing hoop houses and greenhouses, so we do have some things that you might be surprised to see. We have one vendor who comes from Michigan, and she has the fruit is available a little later over there because they have a little, because of the lake, you know, lowers the temperature, so they're able to keep things a little longer. So it's a wide variety of things. Originally we started out with maybe 8 or 10 vendors. We finally got up to about 15 or 20. Then we moved to the fairgrounds. And last year I think we had around 30, and I think this year Kelly's, our new market manager, is going to be up around 40.
That's pretty awesome. 40 vendors. So when does this begin, Keith?
Well, the last Saturday in October, October 29th, we moved to the winter market. And so we'll be on the square for 2 more weeks. And then on October 29th, we moved to the winter market. And then we have the first 3 Saturdays in November. We have the last Saturday in October, the first 3 Saturdays in November, December, the first 3 Saturdays, January, February, and March, we do just the first and third Saturdays. So it's just only on Saturdays in the winter, and specific dates. And if you go on our website, woodstockfarmersmarket.org, there's a complete listing of the dates there, too. So
I would imagine you have some beverages there that'll kind of warm your toes when you go in there with your heavy winter months, correct?
Well, we do have some things available, and we have one vendor who sells soups. We do have, I think Kelly's got a couple more vendors lined up with drinks and things.
So basically, the overall history of the farmers market, that goes how far back, Keith?
40 years. 40 years.
40 years.
And I've been in it 31.
So going forward, 31 years, how did this all evolve?
Well, we were originally sponsored by the Chamber in downtown Woodstock. And they gradually developed an advisory committee to the chamber, and we were involved with that. And then gradually we started out with like 8 vendors on the square. And like I say, it was different days of the week. And finally, the market decided to organize as a corporation. So the Woodstock Farmers Market is a corporation in the state of Illinois. We have an annual meeting each fall. We elect our directors, and they have to be farmers to be hold most of the offices, and we've tried to keep it. We're at 50 to 60% farmers at each of our markets. We work at that because we want to stay an authentic farmers market, and that was part of our incorporation plans. And so we incorporated, I think it's around 2004 or 5 or something like that, and gradually it grew. You know, we worked with the city. The city of Woodstock has supported us from the beginning, and we were allowed finally to go around the square And when in the summer market was allowed to go around the square, we saw tremendous growth because each of the stalls were very visible. You know, it's just a wonderful place to have a market. And then as the winter market is the same way. As we've expanded, we've got more room, we're able to better display our vendors' wares in a heated building. You know, it's hard to beat that.
Well, the farmer's market in Woodstock on a square is really an awesome market. A lot of people have commented that it's one of the better markets in the area. Your farmers, the logistics of the farmers, what is that broad radius that they come from, Keith?
Well, we have developed rules that, by the way, we are a producer market. So our people who are at the market, even if they're not farmers, they have to produce the product that they bring. And we inspect all of our farms. Even the farm in Michigan, we inspect it. And our rules say we get all of our local product that we can. So we're basically set up for local products. If there's a product that we can't get locally, then we go outside, vis-a-vis the Michigan person. You know, she has a stone fruit, which we cannot get locally. So she's allowed to bring something in.
You know, that's interesting because I don't think people realize that you go out and inspect. What are the steps you take when you go and inspect a farm? What is it you're looking for?
Well, the first thing I do is I write down, and Kelly would doing this too, is I write down the products they're bringing to the market. So when I come to your farm, if you're bringing tomatoes, I want to see tomato plants. If you're bringing sweet potatoes, I want to see that. You know, if you're bringing whatever you're bringing, if you're bringing meat, I want to see the animals. You know, we actually verify. We record the. We take pictures. We verify the acreage. That you have adequate acreage to present at the market what you're presenting. If you're organic, you know, we look at that. Your certification papers. If you're selling eggs, we want to see your permission to sell. You know, you have to have a permit for that. If you're selling meats, we want to see that. If you're producing in a commercial kitchen, we want to see your license. We want to see your commercial kitchen. And we only, right now, we're only allowing commercial kitchens to come to our market. We try to keep the quality high because we want our customers to feel assured they're getting authentic farm products, first of all, that they're produced in the best way they can be produced and following all the rules and regulations, like of the county health department. So,
I truly don't believe that people are aware of how much checking and verification that you go through with these farmers. I don't think people are aware that you take that extra step to ensure that everything's the right way.
We do, and I think one of the reasons is we are not there just to collect fees from the farmers. We're there as vendors, and we want it to be an authentic farmers market. There are markets in the country who allow reselling. And reselling is a no-no at our market. You cannot resell anything.
Have you had instances where a farmer was or an individual was not doing the right thing or following the rules, Keith?
We have. And over the 31 years, I suspended, I think, two or three people. And usually it'll come back to me, you know, that someone will tell me, you know, Keith, that somebody has been violating the rules. I always assume innocence, but we do check. We go out and check, and there were two or three people that over the years, over the 31 years, which is not very high percentage, you know. Just occasionally you'll get someone who doesn't follow the rules. But we, most of the time, if there's something that's out of kilter, you just talk to them and say, hey, this product, you know, is you're bringing a pie that you didn't produce, you know. And they'll realize it. And sometimes they do it inadvertently because some of our farmers go to other markets and they're allowed to take it to the other markets.
Okay.
But at our market, they can't.
That's interesting. The because there's always the one person or farmer that might try and pull a fast one. I'm sure that's just the nature of the beast, right?
Right.
But I think that's awesome that you go out and check and make sure that what's going to your market there is what you say it is, it is.
Like I say, we're a producer's market. We use that on all of our advertising. We do it on all of our promotion, and we're proud of that. Our farmers are proud of that. Because if you're a farmer and you're going to a market, and the guy pulls up with you next to you in the next stall and has tomatoes in April, you know, there's a problem there.
Right.
Unless he's
right.
Got a hoop house and he's and he's doing some special growing techniques, you know.
Right. But you have to verify that to make sure the The farmers that you work with right now, are they primarily McHenry County or the McHenry Kane? What's that radius look like?
Well, I'd say the majority of our people are McHenry County. I'm 15 minutes away from the market, 10 minutes away from the market. We have other people that are from Harvard. We have people from Capron. We do bring some people in from a distance that we can't, that if we have someone, we try to get as local as we can, but if there's a product that our customers want, for instance, our customers for years told us they wanted fruit. We did surveys every year. We need more fruit at the market. Well, we just couldn't get stone fruit. There are a few people, orchards in Illinois, who are trying to raise stone fruit, but it's a real tough raise because of the trees pretty much tend to last. Peach trees maybe last you 2 or 3 years in Illinois, and they're continually breeding new varieties. But Michigan is really the true stone fruit area. So we had to find a farm in Michigan who was actually doing it. But we did. We did the research, and we got a farm. So we just have one person coming in with that from out of state.
And how about your apples, Keith? I know there's a lot of apples up in Wisconsin, as well as Michigan, but there's not as many apples in Illinois, are there?
Well, you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. There's some big orchards, Royal Oak orchards right outside of Hebron, I don't know what they must have. 100 acres of trees or maybe 150 acres of trees. Up at Capron, we have Van Lars Orchard, and they've developed. They've got a lot of. They have some rented land that they rent and raise other products on. But they also have huge orchards, so it's developing. If you look at the orchard walks around the Woodstock area, there's a lot of them in our area.
That's great. The in addition to everything you're doing right now, what about, do you have special events or different things that you put together for?
We do, and Kelly's been just wonderful with that. We do have music at every market, pretty much. With the winter market, we stopped the music at the winter market during COVID, and we haven't started back up. And right now, we're probably so full of vendors, we'll probably not be able to have a place for the musicians. But because we're going to be around 40 vendors this year. But we do have special events. Kelly has got some children's events. She's got... let's see, what is it called? I can't think. Oh, the Sprouts Club, she calls it. And she's going to have special events each winter market for kids. And we had an artist drawing contest this summer with kids. And so we have a story time with kids. We try to make it so that when families come, they can be entertained.
Right. The folks, just a reminder, you're listening to your Huntley Community Radio Station, 101.5 FM. And if you have any questions down the road, just go to huntleyradio.com and click on Contact Us. We're talking with Keith Johnson from the Woodstock Farmers Market. Keith, you're talking about the events. Let's kind of touch more on that. What's going on there? I know when you have music in the square, it's usually in that large gazebo in the center of the square.
Right, right.
But that would be hard in just a building over at the fairgrounds. But how about some other events that are going on?
Well, and I'm not sure exactly what Kelly has, but we have had some last year, I think it was, the vendors all dressed up in costume on Halloween, our Halloween market. We had Santa Claus there at Christmas time. We have had demonstrations out there. We had one farmer who demonstrated potting plants. He brought set up some extra tables for him, and he demonstrated potting plants in the spring. So besides the music, and in the summer market, of course, we've had music at every single market, and we involve all the local musicians from the area. We don't pay a whole lot, but they get a little publicity, and we've got some great music.
When you have the events during the winter months, the dates that you mentioned, Keith, what are the hours for those events?
The winter market starts a little bit later. We start at 9 in the winter, and it goes from 9 until 1. So the market opens at 9, and we go until 1 p.m. and everyone is required to stay. So we have a full crowd right till 1.
Have you ever had to cancel one of those dates due to snowstorms, weather, whatever? I'm thinking that you got one date that's December 17th. We should get a blast of winter.
It can happen. It can happen. We canceled, I think, we must have been in the winter markets for 10 years now, and I think I canceled two. Because one time we had a huge storm that came through, and it was predicted, and we were able to foresee that and canceled, and we try to get the word out to as many people as we can. But I don't think anybody would have came even if we would have been there, because it was really bad that day.
Well, we wanted to do this show because we wanted to get the information out there. I don't believe a lot of people realize that you have the winter market at the fairgrounds. I know they know about the square, but I don't think they know about the fairgrounds.
Yeah, that's right. And we appreciate that, because it's, you know, you can never do enough to let people know, because people move into the area, they don't realize that farm products are available anymore. They don't think about it, you know. But many of our farmers have done this, what we call value added. You know, they've taken their milk and they've made it into cheese. Well, cheese is storable. It's honey, for instance, is processed in the fall, but it's available all winter. Many of our products are, more and more farmers are looking at ways to expand their market season, and this serves that niche.
That's good. Because especially when it comes from a land like that, it's kind of great as opposed to a supermarket. Not that the supermarkets are bad, but getting that fresh product is always great.
Well, and we encourage our customers to ask farmers questions. You know, what variety of squash is this? You know, what's the growing season for this? And personally, my wife and I have raised vegetables all our lives, and we tell people. You know, people always ask us questions. Well, like the garlic, when do you plant the garlic? October 15th. You know, you. What are the types of garlic? And we like to encourage anybody to grow, because it's a good thing. And we, all of our farmers will tell you about their product. If you walk up there and ask them about the product, what type of pork is this? What breed of pig are you raising? What breed of cow are you using for your meats? All of our farmers are able to answer that, and we think that's something that the grocery store can't give.
Right, right, and that's good, because I don't think that people realize they can ask those questions. They can go to the farmer and ask, you know, the same thing you just mentioned just now. And it's funny you mentioned garlic, because we planted garlic, and once the garlic gets going, it's hard stopping it, because it comes back every year, and it's like it just goes wild. You can't stop it, but it's great to have fresh garlic.
Yeah, but garlic is, you'll find, though, that your garlic that you do use that way will get smaller and smaller. You need to plant your garlic in separate cloves each year to get the optimum crop. And about October 15th is the planting date in this part of Illinois.
The events, I know that there's some things here that Kelly had mentioned about bubbles and story time or things along those lines.
Well, we do have had the story time in the summer. I don't know that she has it set up for the winter, but we did have story time all summer. We had Arlene Lyons from the Between the Lines bookstore in Woodstock, right on the square there.
Sure.
She came over every year, every Saturday at 10:30, and she would read children's stories. And then we had the library come from Woodstock Library came some. I'm not sure about what Kelly has planned for the winter, but she has kids events for every single market. I know that.
What is Touch a Truck? What is that program?
Well, Touch a Truck, Kelly worked with the local fire and rescue departments, and they would bring a truck and park it up by the square, and the firemen and the ETMs would be there, and they would explain the equipment, and the kids could touch the truck and, you know, and talk to them about what it was. And it was very popular this year. It was very popular. We have had the Wienermobile there, you know. We try to bring things that are interesting to kids, because so many of the people who are coming to the market are parents who are looking for good food for their kids too. And that's part of our big customer base. Tuesday we call it the baby brigade, because we have a lot of baby buggies on Tuesday. That's mothers out just shopping for their kids, you know. And we like to include things that will keep those kids busy. They're a pretty high energy group, you know.
So during the winter months, and how do you work to maintain that attention that people know they can get these products, and there'll still be a lot of products that are maybe not as large as the square in the summertime, but do you promote in any other ways to let people be
aware?
Well,
we do signage, of course, and we've worked with the Woodstock Independent to let them know that we're starting the winter market. Our biggest concentration of energy in the last probably 5 or 6 years has been social media. We have a Facebook account, and we have a Twitter account, and all those other things I don't know how to operate, but we have a lot of people who do searches for us, you know, on the internet and find us through the internet. So we know how important social media is, and we've tried to use it as much as we can.
So with your first event coming up is October 29th?
Yep, the first winter market.
Okay, and of course that one will probably have more products as opposed to, let's say, January.
Right. Skelly has a very complicated schedule of who's going to be there when. Our farmers who don't have the greenhouses and things like that probably will go to the end of the year, because squash and potatoes and things are storage products. They can be stored and brought in. But after the first of January, we'll lose a few of our farmers who are just strictly raising the root crops. We do have people bringing, though, like sprouts. We do have people bringing greens, you know, microgreens. So those are coming all winter. And we have people who actually are using grow lights, so you know they're raising their vegetables not even in soil. They have these trays with the nutrients. One of our vendors has a fish lettuce spinach combination thing. The fish fertilizer is circulated through the trays. And then the plants get their nutrients for that. They're not planted in soil. We have one vendor doing that, called aquaponics.
That's amazing. That's really amazing. I think that process is becoming more and more popular too, because I've read a lot of articles about that, where it's a growing process that's out there. When the folks come to the market, is there a way that is something posted so you know what's there when you walk in? That okay, we're gonna have these products over here, but. And I come next week, that product may not be there. I mean, how do you find
right,
out?
Right, right. That'll all be on our website and our Facebook account. So go to our website, and Kelly does a real good job of keeping that up to date as to who's going to be there when. And, Facebook, too, she usually has a list of the vendors, and that's probably the best way to get the list of the vendors.
And is that website Woodstock Farmers Market?
Yeah, woodstockfarmersmarket.org. And we always have a vendor list up there for both our summer and winter markets.
And is that all spelled out, the word market spelled out too? It's Woodstock Farmers Market all spelled out?
Yep, woodstockfarmersmarket.org, all lowercase, and you should get there. One of the things you haven't asked about is our link program. I don't know if, did Kelly ever mention that to
no,
you?
No, she didn't.
Well, we have a wonderful program that helps people who are on the link program in Woodstock, where we match their purchases. And we got a grant the last probably 8 or 10 years where we're able to match. If you come in with your link card, we can give you tokens for our market. And you can spend that at any booth in the market. The tokens never go bad. And then we match those tokens with a special program where we will like double your money. You come in and take $25 on your link card, we'll give you another $25 in coupons. That you can spend at the farmers markets. You can't go downtown and spend it, but at our markets, you can use right. those tokens right in the market, and they'll allow you to double your purchasing power.
And so it's, if you come to the market, then you can buy that card right there.
The link card is issued by the state.
Okay. Okay.
And it's issued by the state, and you get depending on your family, you get a certain allotment of money, and we have EBT machines which will read those cards.
Okay.
And automatically put that money in our account. But beyond that, we do match that. So if you come in with $25, we'll match the $25, and you got $50 all of a sudden to spend at the market. We started that years ago because one of the comments we would get from people is that this is just for rich people, you know. It's a exclusive thing, you know. And we decided as a market we were going to support the community, and we applied for grants, we got this money, and we've been doing it now for probably, I think it was 2010 we started, 29 or 2010. We were one of the first markets in the state to start it, and it's a wonderful program.
Well, you had a long history. You've got, 31 years? You've been...
I've been 31 years. So the market's been 40 years. So this was our 40th anniversary. We had a big celebration in the summer.
So I guess I should ask before we sign off, how did you get started 31 years ago, Keith?
Well, my wife was interested in it, and... we started out small. We had a small acreage. One thing people don't realize is that you can do quite a bit with vegetables on a small acreage. If you have a small garden plot in your backyard, you can raise a lot of your own vegetables. And so we started out slow. We had been doing farmers markets in Wisconsin. We moved down to help care for Nancy's parents, and when we moved down, we got started in Woodstock. I never knew where it was going to lead.
That's quite an interesting story. It's amazing how things gravitate over time and what it turns into. And you've got 31 years of market history behind you, Keith. That's wonderful. Folks, we've been talking to Keith Johnson from the Woodstock Farmers Market. And again, you've been listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station. For more information, go to huntleyradio.com, click on Contact Us, and we'll try and answer any of your questions and see if there's any other shows you'd like to listen to. Thank you again for sharing your time with us, Keith, and telling your stories. And thank you, everybody, for listening.